the very essence of the idea of Musar, Musar that we give to ourselves, Musar that we receive from others. It's really not about guilt. It's really about self-reflection, taking a close look at ourselves over a very, very long period of time. The arduous task of being honest with ourselves. And sometimes the realm of Musar enters even into areas that normally are not spoken about, that are deeply uncomfortable. A person does themselves no benefit to learn Musar about being a nice guy. You know, when they're an exceedingly nice guy already, you can always work on yourself. But it's not really uncovering the areas that are challenging. I want to spend a few minutes tonight discussing an area that is uncomfortable, and that's the area of death. People know that this Shabbos, in many of the shuls that you daven in, or many of the shuls that you'll be in, it's something called Team Shabbos, which is supposed to be geared about end-of-life issues. And it's difficult for many people to discuss even issues of halachic wills for themselves and for their parents. But I want to discuss death in a slightly different way this evening, understanding that it's not conventional to do so. And by starting off by doing so, by thinking about the Parshas of Vayechi, thinking about the death of Yaakov Avinu, of Yosef HaTzadik, when a person reads through the Psukim that deal with the death of Yaakov Avinu, a person has a sense of complete shlemus. Yaakov Avinu, who saw it in his life, Leishev V'Shalva, now in Mitzrayim, surrounded by his children, going back to Eretz Yisrael, be buried with his father and his grandparents, a sense of one's life coming full circle, with a sense of shlemus. I always thought to myself that the dominant theme of Yaakov Avinu's life was the fact that as a young man, he switched the brachos for him and Esav, and everything in his life, or so much of his life, was an outgrowth of that event. And now in the closing moments of his life, his last real action was to switch his hands with Ephraim and Menashe. Not to psychoanalyze Yaakov Avinu, but it's a statement of shlemus, of a person's life coming full circle. And how does a person go through life in a way that they can experience shlemus in their twilight? In my capacity in Rabbanos, you deal with all sorts of families towards the end. When I was a Rav in Einstein many years ago, 15 years ago, and I was very young and very inexperienced, I got a knock on the door on Friday night at 2:30 in the morning, which, as you can imagine, is never good. And somebody had just lost their father, and I came to the hospital in Weiler. And the scene that I saw in front of me, of all of this person's children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren sitting around him in a circle holding hands, with this immense sense of connection and closeness and gratitude. And that's one type of shlemus. Shlemus where you go through your life and there's such a connection with siblings and parents and children. And you move through your life with a unity of purpose. And then you go to many funerals and siblings won't sit shiva together. And there's a disagreement about every single point. And the kids weren't close with their parents. And the parents had no shaychus to the grandchildren. That's one element of shleimus, to live a life that starts now, not 50 years from now, with that sense of connection. As she once spoke to in my shul many years ago about the value of family, connections between brothers. Somebody came to me afterwards crying. He said, I've not spoken to my brother for 20 years. So he wrote him a letter. The brother didn't write back. Their father passed away. They didn't even speak then. That's one type of shleimus and a lack of shleimus. There's also the shleimus, again, that shaykh to right now. The shleimus that often a person wakes up in their life and they look back on their life and they realize they simply were not whole. A friend of mine told me a story that his wife was giving birth for the first time many years ago. And as people know who are parents, you develop a connection with many of the other fathers on the ward if the labor goes on for many hours. And my friend, Rabbi Wilds, and this other person, they were speaking all night. And finally their babies were born. And they were standing by the window looking at their newborn boys in the nursery. And the person next to Rabbi Wilds started to cry. Just started to cry and cry, watching his newborn child. Rabbi Wilds, are you okay? He said, I married a non-religious woman many years ago. And when we got married, I promised her that I wouldn't try to be religious at any point in life. And she made me promise we wouldn't circumcise our child. And I'm looking at my newborn son, asking myself, what did I do with my life? And how many people ever look back 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 70 years, back on their lives with a sense of a fundamental lack of shleimus? People who spent their life getting angry. People who spent their life yelling. People who spent their life disconnected. People, because of their own insecurities, destroyed so much of their life. People with elements of cruelness. People who were too needy. Then you look back on your life and you realize it was not a whole life. Because I never worked on myself. I was never shalom. People who had to speak openly, a netiya towards addiction, and they go through 20, 40, 30, 40 years of their life as addicts and destroying their family. How many people go through life, again, and it starts now, it doesn't start 60 years from now, with that fundamental lack of shleimus that needs to be cultivated and worked on every single moment, every single tekufa of a person's life. And that's how a person passes on from this world, with a sense of being one, being unified. The reality is that when I think about, and just to speak openly and personally, when I think about moving on from this world, I think about the idea of death, that doesn't really scare you. When Kadosh Baruch Hu brings you to the next world, when it's time, it's time. But what's fundamentally scary is not the idea of dying, but it's the idea of not living a full life. Death itself comes, but what's so fundamentally frightening is in the last stages of your life to look back and say, was this a life worth living? Was it a full life? Was it an accomplished life? Was it meaningful? Can I move forward in peace? That's the real fear. And how does a person live a life, again, in one's 20s and 30s and 40s? How does a person build a life so that when they look back at some stage, they feel a sense of nachas ruach, and a sense of peace? When I think about that issue, I think about the following three thoughts. First is that a person doesn't have to live a big life. I'm going to go off, I'm going to start this community, and I'm going to find the cure for this, and I'm going to discover that. A person doesn't need size. A person can live a small life, but if it's a life of generosity, constant, continuous, daily generosity, then a person can feel this was a life worth living. Somebody in our shul a little while back, their father passed away. The grandchildren were describing what they saw in their grandparents. And the man in my shul was describing what he saw in his parents for 70 years. So that he saw his father, before he passed away, go through the entire house and find all of the Sfarim and the Siddurim, and he bookmarked the place for his wife, knowing that he was leaving the world. She wasn't the most educated person of the place that she would have been, and he made sure, a few days before he passed on, to make sure that everything was just so, just for her. I saw somebody else in our shul recently, whose mother passed away. She had Alzheimer's for 20 years, and her husband never left her side. And for the last 15 years of her life, when she was in bed, he would set the Shabbos table for her every single meal, leave a place at the table for her. Just small, heroic, teeny acts of generosity that create a tapestry, a fabric of a person's life. And that exists every moment of every day of everyone here's life, potentially. We had some guys from the yeshiva come over a few weeks ago, Alicia and a few other guys. And two of the guys stayed in my daughter's room upstairs. She was not there. And one of the beds was sort of a normal high bed, and one of the beds was sort of lower, more of a mattress. And I knew to myself, when these guys went up, there would be like a fight. Who would get to sleep on the low mattress? Because it's a certain type of, and kachava, there was a fight. Now, I should sleep low, and I know you, like, it's just, because there's a certain life of just generosity and goodness. And if a person lives that life, even if it's a small life, a person can go through their days with a sense of nachas ruach. That's one thought. Second thought is that a person needs to look back on their life and they need to feel fulfilled. Asher Yishebo Kan B'Talmudo B'Yodo, the Bali Musar point out, it's Talmudo B'Yodo. Happy is the man who comes here and what he should have accomplished and what he should have learned and who he was and what his essence was and what his kochos were realized in this world. Talmudo B'Yodo. And the greatest sadness is a person who moves on in this world and looks back and says, I wasn't true to my essence. And I didn't manifest my kochos. And I could have lived a life, a different type of life. And I want to give you guys a bracha that I give with such love and such sincerity, that as you're thinking about your future now, that the first question is, how can I find fulfillment? What am I passionate about? And for certain people, fulfillment will come by being a lawyer or an accountant or an actuary, but being an amazing accountant and being part of the shul and learning, and that's great. But if you're a person that feels that's not going to be where you find fulfillment, and your soul is calling for more, and you don't follow the path of your soul, and I believe truly that what a person thinks they're good at, and they get feedback that they're good at that, that a person will make a living. If it's in chinuch, if it's in psychology, if it's in community work, if it's whatever a person wants to do, if you're good at it, and you're passionate, and you're idealistic, and you work hard, you will find a living, and you'll live your life with a sense of shleimus and satisfaction. Asher yishavol lekan v'tamud b'yado. And the third area that I think about, what I think I'm going to think about in the last days of my life, it's based on a very beautiful idea by Rav Tzadok. Rav Tzadok discusses a very famous machlokas between the Rambam and the Barbanel and others. Can a person do mitzvos l'shem olam haba? And is that considered to be lishma or shelo lishma? And the Rambam says very famously that a person who does any action for the purpose of being kohen olam haba, that shelo lishma, and other Rishonim and other Rishonim disagree. And the Rav Tzadok says that it really depends on a person in this world and their thoughts about the next world. If a person in this world is living the life of the soul, and his thoughts of Olam Haba is a place for the expansion of that soul, then what the next world is just a continuation of a person's life here. And that's very beautiful. If a person thinks about the next world the way that many people Chalila do nowadays, is a place of just rewards, that's something that obviously is a place of disgust. And Rav Kook says so beautifully, our temporary existence is only one spark of our external, eternal existence, the glory of everlasting life. There's only one way to bring forth the wealth of goodness concealed within our this worldly life, and that's our connection to our eternal life. A life of true civility and culture is based solidly on one's connection to eternity. And you think to yourself, how am I going to think about leaving this world? And you think that if you lived in this world, the life of the soul, the life of Pashtus, the life where the Neshama feels present, the life where we express our best selves, that when we're ready to leave this world, it just feels like a comfortable passage to a place of purity. But if we look back on this life and our life today, this moment today, is one of the overbearing presence of physicality, and our soul is subjugated and submerged in this constant tension in our life. So when we leave this world, we bring that with us. When they describe the passing of Kook from this world, because on the first day of Elul, the Nazir had brought him the elegantly designed title page of the compendium he'd wrought out of the spiritual diaries to be entitled Orot HaKodesh. Rav Kook wept and asked that on the title page he be referred to simply as Rav and nothing more. He was surrounded by treasured rabbinic colleagues, Rav Mr. Zalman Meltzer, Rav Achiel Michla Tukachinsky, Rav Aryeh Levine. The Nazir stood in the courtyard downstairs because he was a Kohen and he was a Nazir. At the very end, Rav Kook's lips were moving. His disciple and soulmate, Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap, Rav Charlap's grandfather, leaned over him and heard him say, "Even now, my hope in HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't falter." Rav Kook turned his face to the wall as the attending physician rinsed the blood from his body. And once his visitors re-entered the room, he faced them all once again. They began to say the Shema together, and he joined them in the final word of Echad. We think about this world, we think about the shleimus we want to achieve, Shlemus with family. Shlemus within ourselves is dealing with every issue we need to deal with. When we think about this world, we think about a life of meaning that comes with a life of generosity. We think about a life where we can manifest our true selves in this world and find complete fulfillment. We think that this world could be the world of the prominence of the soul, the prominence of the true self. And if we can do that, we can live a life today, next year, 10 years, 30, 50, 70 years from now, a life of shalom, a life of shleimus, a life of nachas ruach, a life of connection to ourselves, connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for now and for eternity. Thank you, everyone.